This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
This is a great class song. I guess it was probably about, two or maybe 3 months ago, I stopped by the little Lynyrd Skynyrd Monument out there in Mississippi. That was nice. If you've never checked it out, you should go by. The folks that manage it are always hanging around outside. They're happy to talk to you. It's, I think they said the little memorial is just about 700 or 800 yards from where the plane actually crashed. But there's a, you know, real, some like stone tablets with poetry and pictures of the band on them and stuff. Go check out the Lynyrd Skynyrd Monument if you haven't already. All right, I'll get more phone calls and texts in here in a minute if you want to react to anything you've heard today. Certainly a lot of people are reacting to Miss Ruby's story. I will talk more about that in a minute. But first, it's time to do the news bomb. Always catches me off guard. Excuse me. When Donald Trump got shot in Butler, Pennsylvania, it wasn't just one thing that went wrong. It was many, many things.
Secret Service failures ahead of the attempted assassination of Donald Trump at a rally in Butler, Pennsylvania this July were foreseeable and preventable. That's according to a bipartisan report from the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee released today. Similar to the agency's own probe, the committee panel found multiple failures on almost every level ahead of the shooting. There was no clear chain of command among the agencies, no plan for coverage of the building where the shooter climbed up. Investigators found the Secret Service was informed about an individual on the roof 2 minutes before he opened fire. A sniper saw agents running with guns drawn, but did not think to tell other officers to get Trump off the stage. Officials were operating on separate radio channels, leading to missed communications that Chairman Gary Peters described as a game of telephone. A House panel is also looking into another attempt against Trump at his golf course in Florida earlier this month. Lawmakers say they want to find out more to try and prevent it from happening again. Jennifer King, Washington.
Yeah, sir, Secret Service seems, I hate to impugn the entire agency, but just from a layman's standpoint, it seems like things are kind of shaky over there, kind of a wreck. I'm sure that the Secret Service gets it right more often than they get it wrong. But hey, you know, just to look back over the years, just take a little trip down memory lane with me. A man threw a live unpinned grenade at George W. Bush in 2005 in Tbilisi, Georgia. That live unpinned grenade landed only 61 feet away from President George Walker Bush, but it didn't explode, only because it malfunctioned. They got pretty lucky there. As it were, it's just another day in the Bush presidency. It could have ended very differently. In Colombia, in 2012, a few agents were hanging out with sex workers while they were on Barack Obama's detail. In 2014, a dude with a knife jumped the White House fence and made it all the way into the East Room after agents ignored alarms that were going off. They ignored those alarms. Oh, I'm sorry, no. They didn't trigger the alarms because people had been complaining that the alarms were going off too often. It's like, can you imagine, like, in the movies where there's like the security guard sitting at the desk with his feet up on the counter and the little black and white TV and a cup of coffee and a box of donuts, and the alarm goes off and he says, it happens all the time. And he just reaches over and shuts it off. That's effectively what the Secret Service did in 2014 with this knife wielding dude jumped the fence. They said, well, we don't want to trigger the alarm because it goes off too often. And that guy made it all the way into the East Room. What would have happened if the president or the first lady or the vice president or Sasha or Malia or the dog, Bo, what if they were in the East Room at the time with the knife guy? Come on. In 2015, two Secret Service agents were driving drunk and they crashed a car into a gate on White House grounds. In 2017, a dude with pepper spray hopped over that fence and he just kind of vibed out on the lawn for 20 minutes. Why? Because Secret Service again ignored the alarms. What are we doing? Just give these guys some more money. Clear out the dead wood. You know? It's a rebuilding year for the Secret Service. Even as the campaign for the White House grinds on, so too does Donald Trump's endless legal drama.
A New York appeals court is set to hear arguments in former President Donald Trump's fight to overturn a civil fraud judgment that could cost him close to $500 million. Arguments are scheduled for noon Thursday in the state's intermediate appellate court. Trump is asking the court to nullify a judge's findings that he deceived banks, insurers, and others for years by lying about his wealth on paperwork used to make deals and secure loans. Lawyers for the current Republican nominee for president contend that Judge Arthur Engoron's verdict was egregious and should be reversed. Lawyers for the New York Attorney General, which brought the case, say the verdict was backed by overwhelming evidence. Rulings typically come down in about a month. Julie Walker, New York.
I'd never heard the judge's name pronounced Engoron before, but that's okay. Man, 2 weeks before Election Day is a hell of a time to have to cough up $500 million. Maybe Donald Trump can, sell some more of those Bibles or the sneakers or the digital trading cards with pictures of him riding an eagle bare-chested while shooting up cases of Bud Light. Donald Trump sees that his campaign is struggling to attract women voters, and he is responding by casting himself as a protector.
I am your protector. I want to be your protector. As president, I have to be your protector. I hope you don't make too much of it. I hope the fake news doesn't go, oh, he wants to be their protector. Well, I am. As president, I have to be your protector. I will make you safe at the border, on the sidewalks of your now violent cities, in the suburbs where you are under migrant criminal siege, and with our military protecting you from foreign enemies, of which we have many today because of the incompetent leadership that we have. You will no longer be abandoned, lonely, or scared. You will no longer be in danger. You're not going to be in danger any longer. You will no longer have anxiety from all of the problems our country has today. You will be protected, and I will be your protector. Women. Women will be happy, healthy, confident, and free. You will no longer be thinking about abortion. It's all they talk about, abortion, because we've done something that nobody else could have done. It is now where it always had to be, with the states and the vote of the people.
Donald Trump's former White House comms director, Alyssa Farah Griffin, called those comments very infantilizing, and she said, I started laughing and thinking it was creepy, but then thinking more about it, it is very infantilizing. Talking about women as though we are weak, we're meek, we need a protector, we need a defender, we just sit around thinking about abortions all day. Well, maybe women should think more about, you know, electric boats and sharks and Hannibal Lecter. He can try connecting with them that way. Just like I told you yesterday, I would love to bring you some audio from Kamala Harris or Tim Walz. They did not have any public events on Monday. They did not have any public events on Tuesday. And they did not have any public events so far today. Kamala Harris is set to give a speech later in Pittsburgh. Donald Trump will hold a rally in Mint Hill, North Carolina. To Washington, D.C., Congress is moving quickly to avoid a government shutdown just weeks before the November 5th election.
The House and Senate are expected today to approve a stopgap measure that would fund agencies through December 20th. Avoiding a federal shutdown weeks before the November 5th presidential election. The new fiscal year begins next Tuesday. Added to the temporary spending bill is $231 million to to bolster the Secret Service after the two assassination attempts on former President Donald Trump.
We expect that to pass by a wide margin.
Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson.
What we're going to do this week, as you know, is a very narrow, bare-bones CR. To do only what's absolutely necessary.
Some Republicans have no intentions on approving the bill, but Johnson says the only alternative at this stage would be a government shutdown. If the House passes the measure, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says he's reached agreement, ensuring passage in the Senate will happen quickly. Donna Warder, Washington.
Also happening on Capitol Hill, House Republicans have moved to hold Secretary of State Antony Blinken in contempt. He's in congressional contempt now over his Afghanistan testimony. During a House Foreign Affairs Committee meeting, Chairman Michael McFaul from Texas says Blinken brought this on himself.
Let the record reflect that for 4 months, I patiently asked for and waited on his availability in September. But instead of working with me, Secretary Blinken made false promises and accused me of politicizing this important issue.
Ranking member Democrat Gregory Meeks says that the panel should be focused on national security, not charades.
A security that should not be utilized for a political stunt made for Fox News. That's what we'll see tomorrow. That's what this is. A political stunt. Plain and simple.
It's hard exactly to say at this point with these the subpoenas, and I'm not going to show up for your subpoena. I'm going to reject your subpoena. Like, what's a political stunt and what's not? I think that Antony Blinken should show up. Let me say that again. I think the Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, should go in front of the House Foreign Affairs Committee or Armed Forces or any number of the committees that are looking into the Afghanistan withdrawal and who knew what when and who screwed it up and give testimony. I think that he should do that. I think if you are asked to come give testimony to a committee in Congress, you should do it. And if you don't want to do it, then they have to decide whether or not it's worth the trouble of giving you a subpoena. And if they give you a subpoena and you still don't do it, then yeah, you should be held in contempt. And then if the committee wants to make a referral to the Department of Justice for criminal charges and the DOJ says, yeah, okay, we'll do that, then you should be held accountable for that. But I don't think at the same time, Gregory Meeks is not wrong when he says this isn't about answers. This is about being on Fox News. I don't disagree with that. A lot of these committee hearings, committee members are content farms for Fox News. They're in cahoots. They're working together to say, oh, well, tonight we want to talk about how Antony Blinken didn't show up for Congress. So you guys got to make sure you ask him. We know he's not going to answer. And then you can come on tonight and say, Antony Blinken didn't respond to my subpoena.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I. com.
And then you got 20 minutes of that, and then we'll show you commercial for a reverse mortgage. We are now a little less than a week away from the only vice presidential debate this cycle, and maybe the last debate of this cycle of any kind. So what do the polls say about Tim Walz and J.D. Vance?
The Associated Press and the NORC Center for Public Affairs Research surveyed 1,771 registered voters between September 12th and September 16th, and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, the Democratic vice presidential nominee, was more popular than Ohio Senator J.D. Vance, the Republican vice presidential nominee. The poll found that negative feelings about Vance were considerably more widespread than positive opinions. About half of registered voters said they have a somewhat unfavorable or very unfavorable view of Vance, up from about 4 in 10 in late July. One quarter had a somewhat favorable or very favorable view of him. With Walz, about 4 in 10 voters surveyed had a positive opinion, and about 3 in 10 had a negative view. Also, Democratic candidates tend to receive more support from women, while Republicans perform better among men. But Walz is better liked than Vance among both women and men. Donna Warder, Washington.
Between the childless cat ladies stuff and the immigrant cat eating stuff, the Project 2025 connections, I expect that if Donald Trump loses this election, he will say in public that it was stolen, but privately, he'll be blaming his sons for making him skip over Nikki Haley or Doug Burgum in favor of the couch guy. I understand there's some issues with the AM band. If you're listening on 870 AM and you're getting some double audio or something like that, we are aware of that issue. The engineers are working on it right now. We're hoping for a quick resolution. But in the meanwhile, you can jump over to FM on 105.3, or it's a great time to download the Odyssey app. You can listen to the app anywhere, whether you're within range of the FM transmitter or the AM transmitter. You can always take us with you. On the Odyssey app, just download the Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y, and look for WWL. Save us in your saved stations, and we'll be in your pocket wherever you go. Here's a text message about the Secret Service that says, hey, Ian, get Clint Eastwood in there. He'll put the Secret Service back on track with the right work ethic. He was itching to take a bullet for his president in that movie. Man, if the Secret Service was just made up entirely of Clint Eastwood's, I don't think we'd have any of the problems we're having now. We'll step away with another graduation song. This one's so weird. Why would this be your class song? Oh, man. Is this? This is the vibe at the graduation?
It does sound like the finale of a movie. And
oh, here we go. Only just begun. Oh, man. I like the Carpenters just as much as the next guy, I guess. This is not my favorite Carpenters song, not by a stretch. And if this was my class song, I'd be mad. I'm Ian Hoken for Scoot. Be right back.